Welcome to the Winners and Losers radio show, broadcasting on www.enlightenedradio.org. And this is the show recorded on the October the 13th, Friday the 13th, 2023 at the picket line in Martinsburg for the UAW contest against GM. And Vanessa Banks, the president of Local 1590, is being interviewed here by Karen Valentine and myself. And welcome to these very interesting and illuminating remarks.
But when working class people,
professionals, people all around just don't get it. They don't understand it.
And so many of them out there are just, oh, well, they're union, they're getting paid well. Well, that's not been the case.
Right.
I kind of had this thing on Facebook with a friend of mine. She said, my mom worked for GM. I know what it's like in there. I worked temporary in there, you know, 20 years ago. And I said, that was 20 years ago. I said, my dad worked at GM, and I remember that GM, too. I said, and I've been here for 23 years, and I've seen it decline the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's like, right after I got hired in, I got to my 3 years to get up to par with the traditional workers, what they were making. And it was like, great, I got buying power, you know, I can do things, you know, the family's doing better. And then it just slowly, every 4 years, it just seemed like we were losing more, not getting any, losing, not getting anything for over 10 years. That's a crunch. And then they said they'd give back once they got on their feet after the bankruptcy. They'd, you know, make sure we got our share back. And they never did it.
Right.
So you just kept, and then this, you know, these past 2 years, it's kind of like everybody's like, whoa, how much is that now? Yeah. You're going to raise it how much, you know? So that big crunch. And then, you know, we see these younger ones coming in, and we're like, they're not paying them anything.
No. Like, now, that's because they're on this probation, this endless probationary.
They're temporary workers.
We don't have any here because, I tell you, Scott does a really good job. He does the bargaining here. Mm-hmm. He's our chairperson.
Right.
So he's done a great job of saying no to temps. He has a voice in that. So we've had no temps since the last contract. Once we got all of those in as permanent, we haven't had temps since. But many other places are. You know, they're still
so using your title is what?
President.
You're president of Region 8.
1590.
Okay.
Local 1590. Local 15. That's
Region 8.
Yeah, right.
I'm in Region 8 in Local 1590.
Okay.
So, are there local negotiations? Assuming there's a national tentative agreement, then is there local negotiations that follow that?
He did that on purpose, didn't he?
I used to be active in national GE negotiations with the UN, and there was always the, you know, multi-stage kind of.
Yeah. The local's not a whole lot to do with, like, you know, it's not about your pay or anything like that. But he can't control some things here. So when he comes back, that's his field. It's I'm administration, he's bargaining.
All right.
And Scott's got, he's probably getting close to 40 years in.
Wow.
I have 23,
So they can't.
I think he's a year younger than me too.
So they can't play many tricks he hadn't seen before. You know, right? Yeah.
I tell them all the time, if they say you can leave and I can go with, it's like, you can do this point system. Your time served and your age equals this. You can retire.
Yeah.
I'm almost there.
Yeah, right.
Almost there.
Absolutely.
And I'm out. But you know, if we get a decent pay, I might have to stash some money before some other crisis comes up, you know?
You never know.
I know.
That's true.
And it's like the closer I get to it, and I'm like, how much really can you live on? Can you do this?
I honestly, you know, in the speech that you guys just broadcast, I think it's so important, like I said, for people on the outside to try to understand. And, you know, when you hear those stats, it's like, you know, chills go up your spine.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, because what I've tried to explain to people is these are profits that they've reported.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
imagine
what happened,
you know, all of the kickbacks for
how much is parked in the Caribbean someplace.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm just like, these are reported profits.
Right.
And you've got people that can't take a sick day. you know, that are just like working their asses
and then you
off,
see
you
what
know?
They're paying the CEOs and you're like, how many times do you need to make that?
That's what people...
How many years do you need to make that?
People need to hear that over and over.
That's a bargaining process usually, right? You know, the CEO goes to the chairman of the board or the board of directors and says, well, you're going to have to pay me at least 3/4 of my pay if I fail.
Right.
Because you're probably not going to like what I'm going to do in about 6 months.
She'll say it too. She's already said it. She's worth it.
She's worth it, right?
She's worth it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, how do you sleep at night knowing that some of these people are struggling at $17 an hour?
I know. Right. So is every one of your workers that are making that money for you worth it.
And you sleep well at night? You probably have to take drugs to go to sleep. I just can't imagine sleeping like that.
You see the melatonin just pouring off the shelves.
I'm telling you, I think
it's stronger than that. Something else.
But you know, and there was I had worked in a foundry for a while, and I knew some of the temps there. And the one, she was a temp over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Foundry is nowhere anyone ever wants to be. I cried and lost a lot of weight there.
Yeah, right.
but I got forced out because of plant closures. And those people coming to here knocked me out of a job. Mm-hmm. So we were, I'll tell you, most of my career, a lot of it was spent in a job bank. And that was, people used to say, how do you do that? I'm like, it's GM's money. I'm not taking the state's money. GM's giving it to us. But before the bankruptcy, they had a job bank. So if you were laid off, you came in and you worked 7 to 3 and you didn't work. You didn't work. You were just there in case they needed you.
Yeah, you just reported in.
But they paid you like 85% of your pay.
Oh, okay.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like, boring, but yeah.
Yeah, they offered, it was. But we played movies, we played games, whatever we could to pull out the day. But then the bankruptcy happened, and of course...
Oh, I'm good, thank you.
No, you have to.
I have to.
This is our barber.
It's required.
He's
it looks good. You know? It's some kind of like jambalaya, yeah. It's lovely.
So then after the bankruptcy, of course, they had to end that. And some of their other big expenses that were unnecessary.
Yeah.
Right. So then, of course, it just all went really downhill from there.
Oh.
And like I said, they just never... They've recovered.
Oh, that's great.
Well, very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously.
Clearly.
Yeah. But, and they just keep leaving us in the dust. And still wanting to use that $17 an hour person. So, a lot of the fight is for them. But for us that have been, and those that have been here longer than me even, there is a time that you want to regain where you should have been where you should have been had they not left us out there in the cold for over 10 years.
And that's what I've been impressed with is how many people that have time in are coming out to support the people that need it. Yeah.
You know, are you laughing at me over there, Susan?
I'm just trying to get the speak book.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I was listening to the media the past week and talking about how the government is reporting that we're having disinflation.
Yeah.
And how the average person...
This is
y'all
great.
Y'all get in the shade?
Somebody likes as much
hot?
Spice as I do.
There's some shade over here. I know I get hot quickly. I get heated. Find a little shade here.
Anyway, so... And then people were asked, well, what do you think that means? That you have disinflation. And most people thought, oh, you mean that they're telling me that inflation is going down? No, that's not true.
No, it's not. No, not at all.
It's going up a little slower than it was before,
right?
But it's still going up.
Right. Well, yeah, I was on the phone with this Shepherd University Extended Education Group.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of older people, actually. And so I was telling him how... Even I, at traditional wages, feel like I have no buying power anymore. Mm-hmm. And and I said, these people at $17 an hour, they can't even afford to live on their
own. Right.
There's no way.
They probably have a second job. Yeah.
And live at home.
Yeah.
They're still at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about that, and he said, well, what do you think minimum wage should be to stay out of poverty?
Well, I didn't want to give it to you.
I said, it's probably around $40 an hour. honestly, to be able to feed your children, pay for a home, pay for a vehicle, all of those things that you need to do.
Yeah, you have to have a cell phone. You have to have internet. I mean, so, you can't function without those things anymore.
Anyway, he looked it up, and it was at about $40 an hour is what minimum wage really should be. And yep. Look at what they're doing.
I know.
What? I said, so if they're starting out $17. Even Rutter's up here is advertising $17 to start.
$40 an hour is $80K. $40 is $80K a year.
Yeah.
Which is,
but, I mean,
which is,
and look at
which
the
is $2
home now.
Yeah. Which is $2,000. No, $1,000. Only $1,000 above the median family income.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I'll tell you, so when actually, I realized how little I was making was during COVID, just looking at the programs they had out there for people during that, and it was like, if you make less than, and I was like, oh my God, we're just over poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
above it. Not in right. the middle here between this and this.
That's
we're
right.
just above poverty. And I was like, wow, when did that happen?
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. So I was kind of shocked, and so, because there for a while, I was like, should I mean, you know, I'm not poor, but, you know, now I'm looking at this, I'm like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. What else can I do to make money? What else do I need to do? But, yeah, so, you know, I was a single mom raising two kids, so at that time, I did okay until they got older. But now, if I had young kids, whoa, I know what the groceries cost for just two of us.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
I know.
And I started gardening.
I literally was talking to somebody yesterday afternoon, and I have said it to you. I mean, I look back on raising my girls. I have no idea how I did it. I mean, I had days that, I mean, it was, I know I checked underneath the seats of the car, but I gotta check again. To see if I had any quarters for gas.
Yes,
like,
I've done
there
that
were
too.
Days like that. And,
yes.
And we did not live extravagantly.
No.
You know, my kids didn't get phones until they had a job. You know, we had none of that. And,
no.
And I think back.
Well, years are younger.
God, that was hard.
It was.
I don't know how I did it, but it was just what I was doing. It was just right. sheer survival. But, you know, when, you know, I've always had my finger on the pulse of the corporate discrepancy, and now that I have more time to pay attention to it, it's just, it's so blatant. It's gotten so much worse. That's where my frustration comes from. It's like, how are we getting worse than, like,
I know.
Well, you know,
why aren't we solving this problem?
It seems to me that a corporation is a limited liability entity, right?
Mm-hmm.
The owners are not liable for damage that the corporation
right.
caused, only the corporation's assets. But if you have a company that's too big to fail,
yeah.
without doing serious damage to millions of people, that's still getting up there.
You know,
yes.
the limited liability
has
one of these
complaints
rethought.
Going up,
you know, maybe you are more responsible if you're that big. I mean, especially okay. I guess you can't ask a shoeshine shop to be responsible for firing a community, but if you're a GM or J.P. Morgan or one of these other guys that's got as much income as most of the countries of the world.
Look, you got to do something else. There's got to be a different kind of law.
It makes me mad about GM when, you know, American made. Maybe not. You're in all kinds of countries making cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they settled for in Mexico just recently? Their GM contract came up. You know what they got? $3.72 an hour. Right?
Is that the plant in Mexico City?
$3.72. Now, I do know, inside
that's
that
wage?
Plant, yes. No wonder they're knocking these walls down. That's a GM. Can you imagine these other smaller companies, what they're making there? And as dangerous as
that should be criminal.
I said before, I don't know how you all feel, and I hate to talk politics, but let them in. Let them in or help change Mexico. I mean, my God, if I was there with two children, as dangerous as it is, and there's no clean water, I'd be knocking the wall down to get my kids over here, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And when we're a
American company and going and taking advantage like that, there should be liability.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
and we're losing the jobs here in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, they pretty much devastated Detroit.
Yeah, I know.
When they were shutting down all the, I mean, that was just, it was horrible there. I mean, it looked ghetto all over.
No, we had good friends there. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good
thing. I mean, I think one thing that we talk a lot about on the podcast, too, is once you've destroyed people's spirit, it's hard to get that back.
Yes.
And that's a big part of the poverty problem. That's a big part of the disgruntled, you know, population. You know, so many people just say, yeah, nobody wants to go out and work. Well, nobody wants to go out and work if they can't make it.
Right.
You know?
What's the point in working 40 hours a week if you can't even pay your bills?
Right, right.
I get it.
It's so hard.
I was listening
so then they end up doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Exactly.
To make money.
Yeah, I was listening to Mary Kay Henry, who's with the SEIU, and she was, you know, hearing people say, well, it'd be a great thing, you know, this AI and everything like that, is that people can be retrained. And she says, well, you know, there's like thousands and thousands of healthcare workers in California, okay, who do not know their shift from one week to the next.
That's crazy.
Okay, I mean, they don't know when they're going to be working.
Right.
How would they ever go get training with working conditions like that, you know, when they don't even... So then all these big things, oh yeah, if you got retraining, don't worry, whatever, okay, shut all the mines and all this down, everything down, and don't worry, there's prop that, and then 10 years later you find that a whole generation of people got giant grievances about everything, you know? Mm-hmm.
But then with all of this and all the money that Ford, GM, and Stellantis are losing right now, all of that money could have been to begin with, a fair deal.
Exactly.
And you know what a fair deal is. Don't act like you're...
Right.
And then they'll go out here and say, oh, well, if we do this, your automobiles are going to go up. They went up 30% last year. 30% last year. And we weren't getting anything from it. Nothing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But, and they'll turn that table to make it look like we're just so greedy. I said, no. It's not the needy that are the problem in this country. It's the greedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they want to take it to you either have it or you don't.
Yeah. Well, there was a great program I listened to yesterday that just saying really statistically how much the wealth gap, how quickly it's growing.
Yeah.
And like nobody really predicted it to happen this fast and this vastly. You know, we had the 90-10 problem for a long time, you know, the 10% of wealth and the other 90% of people. But there are more people in that 90% that are really falling behind. And, you know, that takes
and
you toward a third world country.
Yes,
yeah, and that takes
you. You got low unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, there's plenty of jobs out there.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're becoming the land of the working poor.
Used to be when I got hired at GM, you stuck it through because it was worth it.
You knew
you were going to get insurance after retirement. You were going to get a pension. You know, you were getting regular raises, and we had COLA back then. So.
Yes.
So
it's clean. Yeah. 3 second rule.
But
let me show you.
Yeah. But everything's gonna fall.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Yeah. So yeah. And you never. Nobody ever walked out. Nobody quit.
Yeah.
Right.
You got those jobs. Yeah.
They'll hire 5. Uh-huh. And you're lucky to keep 1 out of that 5.
Isn't that interesting?
And you're lucky to even get 2 to stick it out the 3 days of training.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them that have been here for a year or two, out the door. They haven't found a better opportunity or just are like fed up with not going anywhere.
Right.
So, yeah, it was never like that. Never like that.
I know.
I mean, you always felt like you were going somewhere.
You had something to look forward to.
Yeah.
I mean, when you know you're going to have health insurance for life, you know you're going to have a pension, you know you're going to have your stock options, that's all meaningful. And that's That's what keeps people, that's the give and take that these corporations should have.
Right.
You know, all the stuff they're cutting is just pure greed, you know?
I read an article on Mammoth talking. He said, you know, his dad worked in the union for one of the automobile companies. He said, and the CEO back then made 20% more than the average worker. And he said they still had two homes. They still had elaborate vacations, you know, all this great stuff. And he said, but the working man was still able to buy a home. Mom was able to stay home if she could with the kids,
right,
whatever.
Right.
They still had a decent vacation every year, whatever. Now they say it's 280% difference from 20 to 280%. I'm like, that's just ridiculous.
It's awful. It's awful.
That is ridiculous. Well, you know, I'm telling you, even lower management in here are feeling it. It used to be a floor supervisor, you needed a 2-year degree. Not anymore. They're just taking one high school diploma so they can pay them less.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can't even get decent supervisors hardly anymore.
Now, is that because also, I mean, it might be them taking advantage of just let's go cheap, but I mean, you would think that there might be a shortage of graduating people available.
You think so? I don't think so. There's a lot of
people
out
there. I don't know.
That have
I just don't know about
pay.
West Virginia College graduation. I just don't. I'm not.
I don't know. That's interesting to try to find out what that might be. Do a little research on that.
But if it's a supply and demand issue, well, the workers should be able to get higher pay.
Right.
I think it's becoming a morality issue. I think more and more people are especially younger generations, are just saying to the man, they're just, they're not going to do it.
They said millennials don't, like, we do a lot of overtime to make up so that we have that more pay.
Right, sure.
So if a lot of us will volunteer, whatever, just to get that extra pay to make it better.
Yeah.
But you can't depend on it.
Right.
You can't buy a house on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but they say the millennials were always the kids at home that were latchkey kids, you know?
Uh-uh.
And they're like, I'm not doing that. I'm not living at work.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my 40 hours and that's it.
Right.
So,
the weenies are almost done. Mm-hmm.
You're almost done.
That's another thing. They'd rather push people to work a bunch of overtime than to make it on 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
Because then if you get another person in there hired in permanent, then now you got to pay them, you know, all this other stuff, all the other benefits that go with it.
Right.
So they'd rather just push us into overtime all the time.
Yeah.
After the last strike, the only time I've ever experienced it, but we had the emergency overtime status, which meant 7 days a week.
Are you staying in touch with your members generally here? I mean, all the people that are
terrible.
I mean, I'm sure they're they're staying in touch with you, maybe.
What's that?
I mean, your members, are you keeping track with everybody, or are some people getting jobs, you know?
I haven't heard of anybody really getting another job at this point.
Yeah.
So, but this time it's been better. We always have a strike fund.
Oh, nice.
And we had it just about to its, like, capacity where you only have to put in, I think we were at an hour and a half of your pay per month goes in, and then part of that goes into the strike fund. And then once the strike fund would get to a certain level, then you dropped it down to like an hour's pay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were $851 million, I think, was in the strike fund when all of this started. But now you hear all these other UAW. It's not necessarily the big three. You got Mac.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of other places out there right now that are UAW, but
Kaiser
they're not.
Permanente last week. Yeah.
I think they got some graduate students that joined the UAW.
Yes.
Yes.
Out in California, there's a whole bunch of them.
Right, yeah.
I'll tell you, that's where Sean Fain got most of his votes.
No. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because they're a little more on the radical side, like he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
He's a little scary to some of us, but I said, you know, he was not who I voted for. But I said, if he pulls this off, I'll vote for him again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he can get us back to where we should be, and
I liked his talking points. He's exactly right. And that's why I was saying, like, he is
what he said, and especially in that beginning part of his speech, is what the outside world needs to hear, because there's so many people that don't get what's happening.
Right.
You know?
They don't.
They just don't understand it.
No.
You know? Oh, there's union workers striking.
Yeah. But you hear of so many strikes now, but that just tells me that nobody wants to give anybody what they're worth.
Right.
Or what they should be.
Right, right.
They don't even look at their numbers like, oh, look, we have all this money now. We can afford to do this, this, and this. Well, and we're out of that equation.
Right, right. No, it's
we can make more if we give them less. That's what they're saying.
Well, it's certainly true that you can't talk those the companies usually into get. I mean, you got to show force. You don't have any force. You don't have any solidarity.
Right.
You don't have much to bargain with.
That's right.
You know, so.
But we had a 97% vote to strike. Right. So yeah. Did someone else he was talking about. I don't know if it was Mac or. No, it was somebody else he said.
The Kentucky plant? Yeah, it was that Kentucky thing that just happened.
Well, no, they're part of the UAW,
okay. Oh, okay.
The big three,
okay.
UAW. Uh-huh. It was somebody else, and I don't know if it might have been Mac.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think might have been Mac. But they voted down their contract. They had a tentative agreement on the onset of their contract expiring. So typically, you're that close and you're not out on the strike, and they've got a tentative agreement.
Yeah.
I would have thought they'd just want to sweeten the deal, you know, maybe.
Sure, make it happen.
But. Didn't they just went right out on strike? So I don't know if that was Sean's thing or what, because it just sounded to me
well,
like
might
they could have.
Well, it might be the company too. I mean, in other words,
I
noticed
it just
the
seems
last
like they could have tweaked
before,
it a little bit better and kept them from even going out.
You had the major financier of both Ford and GM, which is Vanguard, and their guy is Jamie Dimon, who's the head of JP Morgan. He was in Detroit all last week.
Okay.
So I think that's the money people, you know, that are big stockholders in both GM and
Ford.
Yeah,
the bankers getting involved.
They came to town.
All these lawyers and stuff in there, and they're just, like, so hard-ass. You know, they have, like, no real affiliation with the company or us, you know?
Right.
They're working by the hour. They're working by the hour.
No.
$400 an hour.
They're not making $17 an hour.
Rust-Oleum. Not Rust-Oleum, but it was Sherwin-Williams.
Oh, yeah.
There was, like,
them,
30, right?
Yeah.
And they had scabs in there. And then he even said they were in this hotel trying to work things out. He said the company was all about giving, and this lawyer just kept going, no, knocking it all down and shutting up management.
Oh, no.
So he said it could have been so much better, but they ended up just settling to get back into
the
work.
They staged that.
Right.
It was terrible.
They staged that.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
I've seen that.
I hated that. But, you know, I was even more if they get back in the door. I thought, oh, my God, if they get these scabs trained, they might not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then I thought there was one of the office workers that hurt her leg in there bad, really bad. I thought, oh, they'll make a deal now, I bet.
Yeah.
Didn't faze them. Another human being doesn't even faze them.
No, it's too powerful.
Just calculation. It's a calculation.
That's what we're talking about here, is that the corporations have become such a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to come back next week.
Sure.
We'll come visit.
Stick with the Friday crew, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're actually not the Friday crew.
Oh, you're not out.
We switch things up since we're not out front anymore. It's kind of like an 8-hour shift and 3 days off. Of course, there's some of us that come back more often. But so we made it a little bit easier so that they're not out here as long. 8 hours out here is a very long day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's going to be cold.
Tomorrow's going to be nasty. Is there a trip tomorrow?
Yes.
Maybe I'll bring by some hot
flags. So they got to work on some more tents. We lost a tent. This one started busting up pretty bad. So today is their day to work on some tents.
All right. Mm-hmm.
We bought a couple more.
Well, we'll be back to see
everybody. Well, wonderful.
Cool.